What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Shooters Gotta Shoot. I am Erica Spera.
I'm Molly DeMillier.
And today our guest is
Mara Merrick from Woo-hoo!
Welcome on the pod.
And she has her own very great podcast, Happy Never After.
Yes. Hi. Thank you.
Thanks so much for coming on. Before we get to our juice with Merrick, I'm sorry, I've been messing up. I can't even explain what I'm messing up.
Erica's bad at names.
Yes.
It's a thing. We all have our crosses to bear.
Mara, you know. Merrick.
Nailed it.
I've been messing up Mara's name.
We've known each other.
You know what? I primarily read it in text form. So.
And we know anyway. How that goes. Anyway.
Before we get to the juice of Mara, which we are very, very excited to have on the pod, because she has hell of stories to share with us and a true shooter at heart. We have a fun update of Molly did the challenge already of make yourself go to one social event per week. It doesn't say you have to go solo, but it recommends solo.
Yeah. And I did it. I usually like hate going places alone. So I was really nervous and I was texting friends. It was backup. It was our friend Lev, who was on the podcast recently. It was his birthday. So shout out. Happy belated birthday to Lev. And he was having a little party. Erica was out of town and having me like everybody was busy. And I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to go by myself. And I did. I got a man's number.
There you go. Exactly. Easy to approach.
Yeah. I thought it was so fun. And the other thing I was telling you, Erica, earlier was that in a setting like that, it was really good of like for also making friends because now Lev knows me outside of just you. And like Hannah was there, Burner, who we had on the episode.
Also
getting
just
to getting to spend like more time with people who might only know me through you.
I also feel like it makes you indirectly more interesting when it's like, yeah, I fucking rolled through solo.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or especially if you're not looking around the room like, oh man, who's going to talk to me? You're just like, I'm here and have a good time.
Yeah.
Easy to approach.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Do you ever go places solo?
I go everywhere solo.
Oh, all right.
All right.
I don't.
Well, that maybe explains.
It's all really adding up now.
Mara has had a record of marriages and also engagements. Very much probably will beat Molly and I the rest of our life, even combined.
Yeah.
Total. So maybe that's really the key. Just beating to her own drum all the time. And that's what attracts people.
You've been married more times than I've been to weddings, I feel like.
You've been married more than the relationships I've been in. Yeah. Even ones where you go, I mean, we were a thing for a few months. You already have me beat.
Oh,
like
damn.
One boyfriend, one college thing, and then here we are. So this podcast won't be so much the blind leading the blind as Molly and I have been doing. more experts.
Yeah, and this is a true expert.
Oh man, I was also gonna say this weekend you had your mom was being a real down ass bitch.
Yeah, Marianne is a shooter for me. All right, she's been tied up with my dad for a long time now, so she's just trying to get me laid, I guess.
Which is a great mom.
Yeah, she's
just
a great mom.
Just laid, not Angela. A relationship, just laid.
I think she's game for either, to be
honest.
Yeah,
she's pretty
she's like, I just want something in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't really think she cares either way.
Yeah, I don't think she does. But a relationship, probably. So anyway, she was at a funeral. She was like, yeah, it was so sad, you know, but the woman was turning 90, so everybody gets it. So I started talking to the grandson. He got really cute, and I was showing him pictures of you.
Oh my gosh.
She's like, and he said he thought you were pretty. I was like, what's he gonna say? She's not my type, like at his grandma's funeral.
Or he tries to like swipe left on it right in front of her face. Nah. Do you have another daughter?
Does he get anything in the will?
What'd you say?
I said, does he get anything in the will?
Oh, that's a good question.
I know, we need to think about these things.
Yeah, why couldn't she ask that question?
Yeah, she didn't ask any of the important questions.
I know.
Also, this man does not even live in my hometown where this funeral was. Or in New York, but she was asking him if he would ever consider moving to New York City.
Oh my God.
She's like, he didn't say no. I have no idea. idea where he lives.
Yo, your mom is the epitome of like, you can't give her a window. You give her a slight crack in a window, she's going to open it. She's like the, what you assume of men, of like, you give them an inch, they take a foot. That's your mom.
That's fair.
She's like, you didn't say no, so it's going to happen.
Yeah. She was like, I think our families would really get along great. She's like planning the wedding at this funeral.
The only one she wouldn't get along with is dead. So let's move on.
Out of that bitch is gone. Molly, there's so much room for you. Come on in.
They throw a nice event.
Oh my
the
God.
The whole family comes out.
Yeah. She's like at the funeral, like, man, we had a great time. A little twisted. But funerals are weirdly like reunions.
Yeah. So, especially when it's an old person and it's more of like a celebration, you know? That's so fucked up. Guys, I'm really hungover.
You know, everyone's
today.
Just like relieved. Like, oh, that burden's gone. Man.
Healthcare is crazy these days.
Man. It's like before your kids could drive, you got to bring them everywhere, you know? It's like, Jesus Christ. All right. Well, we're going to definitely get into having Mara on the podcast. So Mara has been married 3 times.
Yes.
Engaged a total of?
7.
7 times, which we won't have time to delve into each one individually too much. We're just going to do it like a little bullet point timeline here. So first marriage.
First marriage, 19.
19.
19, yes.
How long did you know this man?
4 months.
4 months?
Yes.
So you knew him a total of 4 months. 4th month you were getting married?
Yeah. He was my boss.
Where did you work?
Toyota Financial.
You were working at Toyota Financial
Shout
at
19? Shout out to my Tacoma.
Oh, my God.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, crap. That's a hell of a job for a 19-year-old.
Yeah.
Well, I went to school early. I have one of those birthdays that's like right on the cusp. And what my mom should have done was held me back so I could have had friends. And then what she didn't do was do that. So she put me ahead of time. And then I skipped ahead as well. And then in my senior year, I went to Grand Valley State University. And like one semester, so I was like doing the college thing.
Yeah.
So I had a whole bunch of college credits early, and then I moved to San Diego, graduated early.
Damn.
Wow. Started working for Toyota. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And do you mind if I ask, how old was your boss?
52.
Whoa. Oh, crap. So I'm guessing he did not ask like your father for permission.
No.
Like, that'd be a hell of a pitch. What a salesman.
He comes with like a new Toyota.
He did get my sister, because my sister got married like 2 weeks after we started fucking. And he, for my sister's wedding, he got her all new cars for the wedding party.
What?
So that we borrowed a whole bunch of different like super fancy Toyotas for the wedding party, and we all drove into it. Like, we painted them and everything, and he didn't care. It was so great.
What?
Just and you gave them cars to paint?
To like, you know, when you're like just married and all the groomsmen, we all wrote. I mean, we had to give them back after the wedding. Oh,
okay.
And then they sold them to people.
Yeah.
And you guys had only been sleeping together for like two weeks. Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Homeboy was into it.
Yeah. Wow.
But something of like when you're 52, I'm almost like, man, is that just, was that the age? You're just like, you just don't care anymore? You're like,
yeah.
How many years we got left? 20? Whatever. Give them the Toyotas. Just give them the cars. Oh, shit. Wait, so then how long did that marriage last for? Do you know?
I had no idea. I actually just texted him and I was like, hey, were we married like 1.5 or 2.5 years? And then his new wife texted me back, and then I got real hairy. And I was like, listen, Lindsay M. I know it's Miller because we both had the same last name for a little bit. Oh, shit. I'm not trying to fuck. I'm just trying to find out some deets. And she wouldn't answer. So I was like, cool. When you figure it out, let me know. Otherwise.
I'm getting interviewed, you know? I just want to have my facts right.
So you still talk to him a little bit?
Yeah, we were talking because we accidentally got married again. Like this.
How do you accidentally get married to a person?
Well, San Diego, they went from print, like on paper, to digital, and they just made like a section of people married. And he went to, of course, get married again. And you should have it on the pod. He's been married 6 times. But,
whoa. 6 times.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was his 4th wife. And then.
Wait. So he's got to be like in his 60s or 70s.
Yes.
Okay. Because he was 52 when you got married. Okay.
Yeah.
Sorry. It's just clicking.
We should text him in 2 months, see if he has a new wife again. Maybe that wife will be nicer and answer your questions. Yeah. Oh, this isn't Lynn's? She's like, nah, we got rid of Liz.
No, this is Ashley.
Oh, damn.
So, yeah, so we had been texting, and then on holidays, he would send me pictures of the family because I had four children, and, like, I raised them for a while.
Oh, my God.
So four kids were already made.
Yes.
Wow. I almost said made and done. They were out of the oven.
Cooked.
Yep. Pre when you came in.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Well, he had a newborn when we got married.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Ooh. Where was that woman?
Anne is back in Michigan, in Kentwood, Michigan, and she's remarried and had four more kids because her alimony and child support was generous. So
oh,
she was
man.
Living large.
Yo, I don't care how much money you gave me. I'm not having four more.
No.
She had eight kids.
Like, oh, my God.
What's her body, a fucking Toyota? Just like, it's a machine?
She did try to run me over with her Sienna van.
Oh, well. Oh, that's a hell of a product placement. And you like work there, so you're like, so you got the all-wheel drive. Very nice.
I actually
very
like, got
nice.
It ready for delivery because I was like, oh, this is for your ex-wife.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So then
crazy.
Marriage number two.
Oh, two. So that happened pretty fast after marriage one. So I left marriage one. It was pretty crazy. And then marriage two to a tall Mike.
You don't have to name names you don't want to.
Oh, he knows we were married. And
he was there.
He was there. He had a good time.
Yeah, I married him and then I divorced him 17 days later.
17 days later.
Well, he divorced me. But it was because he was like, if you don't come home, I'm divorced. I'm leaving you. And so I stayed out for three more days and didn't come home. And then I went home to nothing. So it was great.
Oh, was man.
Yeah.
And you said this was the one that you threw like the big, big wedding for.
Huge wedding.
What was like people's response when 17 days later, after this wedding, they all just went to, you guys are getting divorced?
Well, technically you're supposed to return the presents, but he returned all the presents himself and took the cash.
Oh,
yeah.
What? They just give you cash?
Yeah.
Because people don't give gift receipts.
Right, but it's on your registry.
Oh.
So they know, like, you check it off your registry.
But I didn't
so
know you
it's
could
like
get
a
cash.
Yeah, Bed Bath
you just
& Beyond
get like a big credit to Macy's.
No,
or
like,
whatever.
Well, we went to Bed Bath & Beyond, and actually, Bed Bath & Beyond has pretty good records. Like my Dyson, I bought it, and then it has a year warranty, and I didn't have a receipt, and I just went back into the same store I bought it from, and they could look it up, and then they gave me a new one.
Nice.
I know. Shit. I was like, it's not working, and Dysons are supposed
well,
to
well, that
work
makes
forever.
Up. Yeah, for yeah. losing all that money. That's for sure.
Damn.
Especially like if mainly the guests were like your friends.
They
I'd
were,
be livid.
They were, yeah, because I like ran a whole bunch of gyms in San Diego, like mm-hmm. a family of gyms. And it was a lot of my clients and the members there who I had known forever that were like my family. And they came, but then he had a shit ton. So we had almost 500 people at the wedding.
Oh my God.
Yeah. At a country club.
That's yeah, it was like, what venue even holds that
yeah.
many people?
His parents' country club.
Oh, well.
And they charge us full price.
Oh, then him returning oh and keeping God. The cash. Wait, they were charge you full
they
price?
They charge us full price.
Oh, my God.
So you also both funded your own wedding.
Yeah, I paid for a lot of it myself. I was making good money then. And then, yeah, he wasn't. And
I like how he wasn't making good money and his parents were like, I mean, you need to pay full price for this.
I know. They're like, we'll pay for this and this, but then you guys have to pay for the rest.
They're oh like, we'll get God. The band. And you're like, oh, funny that you pick something that's not per person.
Yeah.
You couldn't pick one per person thing. You couldn't like get the bar or, you know, maybe like one shrimp station at the cocktail hour. Like, really help us out. It's like, well, we got the band, that one flat fee. We got that. And the car. Oh, no, he's got the car.
Yeah, I did have a flip out because I also didn't want it to be. I was like, this is my second wedding. My first marriage was actually real. Like, I don't want to. This is embarrassing. Like, I'm very old school on that. Mm-hmm. And I wanted it. We got married to the public on Cinco de Mayo. So technically, okay, I'll tell everybody something that no one knows. So
exclusive.
She's got to shoot. We got married secretly in February. We were riding our bikes and his mom was driving me crazy about the wedding. And I was like, I can't do that. I don't want to do this. Like, this is stupid. Why can't it just be you and I? And we'll just, and he goes, all right. And we were riding our bikes and he goes, we'll go to City Hall right now and get married. And we did. We went in our cycling gear and we got married. And then we got married and for everyone on Cinco de Mayo. And Cinco de Mayo, I was like, let's just have tacos and a margarita thing and then just drink and have fun. And she was like, I want celadon green dresses. I want the charari chairs. I want the lace over. I was like,
I don't even know what
I'm
any of this is.
I'm paying for this stuff.
His mom was saying this?
Yes.
Oh, and then she doesn't pay for it.
Correct.
See, oh, this is fun. You have a vice versa of, like, I guess my fear of getting married is like, okay, if I'm not paying for it, then I pretty much have no say.
Yeah.
And I'm accepting that I have no say. Because it's like, if it's not the money coming out of my pocket, who am I to argue with my mom or their mom? Like, if you are the two paying for it, I'll be like, just let me pick the dress. If I can just pick it, tell me what how much money I could even spend. Just, you know, like, I don't care. Yeah. But if I was paying for it and then someone else is making demands, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. What was, like, your husband's position in that of like with his mom making all these demands and like things that you don't want on your wedding day?
Well, that was a big problem and why we didn't last is because he would always pick her over me.
Okay.
Yeah. So that was one of the things is even when I brought my brother over, my brother was living with us for a little bit and I was like, I want to bring my brother to Thanksgiving, and he wasn't answering his phone. And my brother didn't have anything to do. He was supposed to work. So I just brought him over to their house.
Yeah.
And she opens the front door and she goes, I just wanted to be family only. I was like,
whoa.
Yeah, he's my family.
Damn. Yeah.
So then I was like, peace. We're going to go then. Oh, I'm not going to just leave him alone.
Right.
And so I took him home and he didn't come. He stayed and had Thanksgiving with them.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How long did this marriage last?
That was 17 days.
Oh,
that
right. Right.
Well, 17 days from Cinco de Mayo. So really, like, legally longer than that.
So almost like 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I guess on to the third marriage. Yeah.
What's behind door number three?
Yeah, I know. What's behind door number three? Oh, I forgot to ask. With the second one, how long were you dating or knowing each other before you got married?
Like 6 months.
Okay.
Oh.
So there's a bit of a pattern. Not to be your therapist, but okay. So number three, how long did you two know each other?
Not long.
Oh, man.
Yeah, and we talked about, we had a conversation that wasn't like a big ask on a train platform.
Oh. What was this after having like the once big wedding?
Yeah.
Say, you're in love again. You're like, I want to be with this person. I want to get married again, which I don't know if you do want to get married again, but say you do.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing like small city hall? Or are you like, would you ever throw a big wedding again? Or are you like one and done believer? Like I did that one time.
I would like to have like a very pretty dinner outside, like put like candles out at night and just keep it quiet and just be like, thank you for coming. This is it. Here's my 16 friends and this person that is putting the food out for me so I don't have to get up and do it. You know, like I can see everyone that's there from the table.
So not 500 people?
Yeah. I know. I sipped one glass of champagne that whole night.
Oh my God.
To say hello and thank you to every single person.
Ugh.
He didn't do shit. Like he was dancing and he was hammered.
No.
And then he went and had milkshakes with everyone because it was his parents' country club, so they turned on the milkshake machine and then they had milkshakes, and I was in this tiny ass garter and underwear like piece, and he peeled off my thing and then he like patted me on the back and he goes, I have gas because that milkshake is really hitting me. And I was like,
on your wedding night?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Oh, so you probably didn't fuck on your wedding night.
No.
Did you ever fuck on your wedding night of all three?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Woo.
Yeah.
But I was going to say, the day in general, even if, you know, homeboy didn't have too much of a milkshake. it's something that I've secretly always wondered. How many couples do actually have sex on the wedding night that have the big wedding? Because it's just a long, exhausting day.
It's so exhausting.
And obviously, you know, this day and day, just like, well, I think it was happening before, but more publicly, everyone's like, yeah, clearly we've slept together. This isn't the first night it's happening type thing. Or it's also funny of like, yeah, we got this block of hotel rooms, so my parents are on this floor. And can't wait to go up there and have sex with just everyone around us. I'm always feeling like I'm going to be like, I'm tired. I was at a hair salon at 7 a.m. Don't touch me.
And also, hotel beds are nasty.
They're gross. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you're like, I'm in the wedding seat. You're like, cool, where all the other couples fucked. How romantic. Like I'm gonna like buy a Casper mattress to have that like get blown up.
Well, that's what you can do with that air mattress.
Yeah.
For your next wedding.
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah. My ex-boyfriend's air mattress that I told him I don't have.
Oh, damn. Well, I hate to ask this question. Well, maybe not hate to ask, but I'm curious. So a lot of this research we do, you know, specifically the rules and Getting to I Do, we've talked about a lot, which are two different books. Getting to I Do, I just looked up, has this chapter that basically is called like how to get what you want without asking for it, kind of navigate. Okay. So I feel like in your relationships, you feel you're more like the feminine energy. You like your man to be very masculine.
100%.
Very man, take control. Because mm-hmm. like it even sounds like when you were like, man, I'm freaking out. I don't know. I'm a little stressed. You love that he basically was like, all right, let's go. We'll get married right now. And you're like, yep, sounds good.
Good solution.
I was going to get my nails done at the salon, but I'll go to Vegas. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
I was going to say, do you, because in general, since you have been married, obviously, Molly and I, you know, don't even have boyfriends. do you almost feel like you at any point ever like consciously made decisions that not weren't like manipulative, but almost were like, okay, this is what I want. And this is like how I'm going to go about to get it. Like not be pushy or not give an ultimatum or do you feel like, I don't know, man, I just get married.
I definitely manipulate every situation.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah, but I don't, sometimes I don't know that I'm doing it until the day's over when I'm like, oh, that was me.
I brought this on myself.
It's almost like you don't send obvious shots, but you're sending shots.
Yeah. I also am very quiet. And then I get, I don't fight like verbally. I don't get angry out loud. I get very quiet. And so I think it draws them to me more. And I don't really want to get married. So I think that makes them want to get married more. Even if they don't want to get married, they're like, mm-hmm. oh, now I'm going to fucking do this. Like, this is a challenge. And I'm like, no, I think it's good that we both don't want to get married.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's one girl at a show was like, can you tell me like how to do this? Because my first boyfriend, and then she explained the whole first boyfriend. She would not leave me alone the whole time. And I was like, the thing is, I don't talk very much. And she goes, I could do that. And I was like, I don't think you can.
Why don't you prove it to me? Let's practice right now.
I was like, I don't even know you. You won't leave me alone.
You can talk to me when you exit. Oh, shit. Yeah. Well, that's a lot of these books. That's the number one thing they say is women do tend to give too much information.
Yes.
Like we are not as well trained of like, no, be a little mysterious. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I don't think that's a manipulative thing. I think it's just being conscious of, especially I think when I get nervous, I get very chatty, mm-hmm. especially on a first date. Like a lot of times the men are typically the ones that will be like asking you questions first. And you're kind of like talking and you're almost like waiting for like, and when are they going to chime in? And when is this going to be done? Because you don't want to sit in that silence.
But do you just expect them to answer a question that they've asked you?
Like no. When
you, okay. So you ask them a question.
Yeah.
And then they don't go, they don't divulge of like a full answer.
Well, it's more of, I've been on dates with guys that I'm like, I think you're trying to do the trick that I'm trying to do. It's just to get you to talk. And so I don't have to say as much.
So you're both just asking each other questions, not even answering them.
Yeah. Yes. And what about you? Yes. What about you? But we already did make. It's like, can you elaborate on that?
I feel like when I get nervous, I just blank and I get so awkward. It's like there's nothing in my head.
I have bullet points of things that I okay. like think of some questions ahead of time.
That's
that
a good
will
idea.
Make them give me elaborate answers. And then I can doze off and like think about my own little things while we're talking.
Are they the same questions for every person?
Well, it's things that I want to know.
Okay.
Like I'll ask them what their most irrational fear is, and then what mm-hmm. their like most like their craziest fear that they're holding on to that they've never told anyone. And the last guy was like, I just feel that I'm gonna work myself to death and not live a life.
Oh,
cool. I was like, whoa.
Damn.
And I was like, that was a very vulnerable answer. I appreciate that. And I was like, I don't want to be left in a shopping mall.
Oh my God. It's like, not to say that your fear is, you know, not to say you're more of a pussy than me, but I'm just worried about getting left in a mall. I was going to say, like, with bags? You're like, don't leave me carrying all these bags.
What did he say? He was like, what?
I'm like, have you been left in a shopping mall before?
I think so, because every time, and my second husband would do this to me. Like, we would be in a store looking for shoes specifically, and I'd be like, hey, what about this one? And he would just be gone, and it just takes over my whole body. Like, I feel paralyzed. I feel like I'm going to fall down. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm here by myself. And I just start crumbling, and then he's like, oh, I'm still right here. And I'm like, fuck you.
Oh,
like,
damn.
Wow.
I'm like, I've peed myself. A little diarrhea came out. I don't know. Like,
now we need to leave.
I know. So and I was like, so your fear of not living a life and my fear is the same.
That's interesting. Because like you said before that you go places alone a lot, but just being left.
Yeah. So if we go together somewhere, we're together. That is it. Like that is it. I don't care who I'm going with. If I go by myself, I know I'm by myself.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
Because I can get myself home. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
I mean, I've gone to a rave and was left there, and I was fine when I got home. That
I made it back from the rave.
I didn't even have money to get home. I was like, I'll figure it out. But yeah. So maybe I just need ecstasy for every time I go out.
Keep it in your purse.
There we go.
That's a solution.
Oh, damn. I was going to say, since, I guess, going through, you know, 3 divorces or several breakups of the engagement 7 times.
Yeah.
Do you feel like since each one, did you feel your standards for men in dating in the future increased or lowered or kind of stayed about the same? And you just kind of kept those back pocket like, okay, this was a bad sign of that guy. Like, let's move on.
I think so. I didn't get engaged or marry my last guy, the breakup. And I think he has made a big shift. I was like, oh, okay. Now that I'm 87, I'm going to have a standard, you know, like that is,
that caused a shift in you.
Yes. 100%. Okay. So I'm not even like, I'll go through. Remember that? I don't know what movie it was, but with Phoebe from Friends. Like, what's her real name? And she was like,
Lisa Kudrow.
Are you married? Are you sick? Like, have you been divorced? Like, she keeps going through. And then if they answer no, then she's like, next, immediately. Yeah. I feel like that person now. I'm like,
okay.
I'm like, oh, you want to talk to me? Okay, what are these things? I'm like, nope, sorry, out.
I was going to say, so the questions now that you're asking on dates, especially like fresh off another breakup. No, geez, it's not me. Just, you know, another one for you. I mean, I feel like they don't bother you as much.
This one bothered me a lot. And I think it's because he lied so much.
Yeah. That'll mess with you, because especially you're like, how did I not catch it when I was in it?
Well, I knew, I'm mad at myself because I knew it. Like I'd catch it. And I was like, I just don't, my gut is like, there's so many things wrong. And I would wake him up at 3 and I'd be like, okay, see how this didn't add up? Like, yes. And then he would sit up and talk to me, and I was like, all right, I'll give it, I'll give in. And then at the end, like after our breakup, I went crazy, like a little bit. I did all the research. I asked all of his friends. I was like, this time I felt uneasy. Was this the truth or was this not the truth? And I found out I was right the whole time. Every single lie.
Gotta listen to that gut, man.
Gotta listen to the gut.
But it's hard. Trash.
I mean, it's hard to listen to the gut on a big decision, of especially, you know, you were with this guy 2 years, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, you've been together a while. This isn't, okay, we've been dating too much. Like, I have some bad feeling about this guy. And it's like very easy to basically bounce when it's been 2 months as opposed to 2 years.
2 years.
Or especially on 2 years, to just leave on the gut feeling feels crazy. Like, you're like, am I crazy? Just being like, my gut is a little off. I feel like he's lying. We're going to break up. Like, especially, I mean, you date in New York like us, and it's like, man, it is just freaking hard.
It is hard.
Like, it's hard to find anyone that even wants a committal thing, even, you know, one that's in it and lying. But it's like, well, they committed, though, kind of. On some level. Like,
he's
you're
here.
Really like, I kind of won before this started to go bad.
I have a question of, like, you were with this person for 2 years that you did not get engaged, did not get married. That's longer than some of your marriages or engagement relationships. Do you feel like in some ways that was like a more, I don't want to say more mature relationship, but like that breakup might be harder than some of the engagements or marriages because of the sort of like the life that you built together in that time. And that might hold more power than a ring in some ways.
Damn, Molly. That was good.
Thank you.
Yes, that is a good question. And I did have a lot of time invested, but I was more like a mom. I think, in that relationship. So than anything. I was doing most of the labor of that relationship.
Okay.
Like, he would plan fun things every once in a while, but he worked a lot. So it was, I mean, it was, we work a lot as comedians.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's always like very hairy.
Our personal trainer.
Yeah.
And you still bartend, correct?
I don't bartend anymore.
Not anymore. But when you first started dating him, right, it was basically three jobs. Comedy, bartending, and personal training, which is personal training early in the morning, bartending.
5 to 11, yep.
You know, midday till late, and comedy at night. So it's like, you know, for you to like be even mapping out time for a person means like they're, you know, very special and valuable to you.
Yes.
So to feel like someone else is just like, oh, I'm busy, I work. You're like, yeah, I work too, man. That's why I'm asking you, when are you free? Like, that's why I'm planning something in advance.
Share me your calendar.
Yeah. Give me the calendar.
I'll find an opening.
Yeah.
I know. He was such a pain in the ass. He was hot to me while we were dating. But that's it.
Well, there it is. You learn more about someone at the end of a relationship than the beginning. The end, you're like, well, turns out just hot.
Well, you knew him like when I first
I didn't know him well, but I knew who he was.
Yeah, you know who he is. But when I looked at him when I first started seeing him, I didn't think he was attractive. And then he became more attractive over time. And then towards the end, I was like, are you going to cut your hair ever?
I'm over this.
Well, groom yourself.
Which, if you're looking at me for cosign, he is a good looking guy. That's for sure. Yeah. I was going to say, after breakups in general, have you ever found anything specific that helps you kind of move on and get over it? Or like, what's kind of your go-to, like you and someone break up, whether it was say divorce or relationship like this guy, do you have any go-to resources
or
activities?
Before, when I first was getting divorced and breaking off engagements, which happened like pretty consecutively earlier in my like 20s, I would just move far away, which is not a good plan.
Yeah, damn. Yeah.
Don't run. Stay, sit in it, meditate, process, get through it. Now I find it's harder if you stay and like initially, but then you go through it faster. So I didn't run.
Okay.
And every question that I had and any feeling that I had, I contacted him and I was like, here's the thing. This is what I found out. What do you have to say about it? And he would respond. And now that I've gotten 100% of all my things processed, I told him, fuck off and die.
Okay.
I don't
moved
have
to
your,
anger face.
I don't have your air mattress.
Buy another one.
Yeah.
Buy another one on your way to get your hair cut. Yeah. Still throwing in those dicks. I was gonna say, when you're dating new people now, do you right out the gate, if they ask like any questions about past relationships, or especially like, I think a first date question I've gotten from people is like, oh, you know, do you ever want to get married or have kids? And like, are you like, funny thing about that? I've already done one.
Well, because we're comics and I'm very open about my life, you can Google me immediately and find out everything. So I don't say anything over text until we first meet. And then I'm like, hey, these are the things I need to tell you about me. And I'm like, strap in. It's going to be like a 10-minute thing. And then at the end, you can make your judgments. And I'll tell them the whole story. And then they're like, oh, okay, that's reasonable. And I'm like, see?
Have you ever had anyone that reacted negatively to that?
No.
Really?
Okay.
That's, wow.
It's all in your delivery.
Yeah.
It's like I've learned how to package.
I watched, like, when we used to watch The Cosby Show, right? And he was teaching Vanessa how to do a sales job when she had to, like, sell chocolates door to door. And he's like, okay, imagine your favorite food. He's like, what's your favorite food? And she's like, I really want a steak. And he's like, steak. And he's like, imagine you're at your favorite restaurant and a steak comes out. It's like this juicy steak. And then you've got mashed potatoes and like broccoli. And the waiter brings it, pulls that silver thing off. And it's like hot. And he puts it down on the table. Imagine how that is. And she's like, okay, I've got it. And he goes, imagine that same steak and mashed potatoes and broccoli on the top of a dirty garbage lid. And he's like, you're not going to eat that. He's like, it's all in how you played it. And I was like, noted. I will take your free drugs and your lessons, Bill Cosby.
Not terrible advice. Not terrible advice.
Wow.
was going to say, do you ever feel, or I guess it sounds like from people you're actually like on a date with, mm-hmm. and you tell them your story, you don't ever feel like shame or judgment or anything from them?
If about, they're like, going to have shame or judgment, that's their own issue.
Mm-hmm. That's very true.
And that's sometimes it's how they're, because I want to date older guys. Obviously, I have a thing. And sometimes, like the last guy I went out with is Italian. So he's got like that old school Italian.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, at the same time, they're men with penises. And I'm an attractive human being. And I dress well for dates. So they're not going to turn me away.
You do. You do the epitome of one of the books. It's basically like, look hot. Look hot and a lot of other things people don't mind as much.
But I'm trying not to have sex. I'm trying not to have sex for a while. And so I do shave everything, even my butthole, before dates. Because you know when you're like not...
Wait. You're trying to not have sex, but you're fully shaving.
Yeah, because when you are ready, it never happens.
Oh, you're like... Oh,
that's true.
You're unplaying the drinks.
You know, that's when you're like... Yeah. It happens.
That's so funny because Molly, upon going to this party by herself, there was someone that I'm like, oh, he's so hot and I think he's going to be there. And I almost told her like, oh, I hope you meet so-and-so. But then I didn't say it because I was like, Erica, if you say it, then he's not going to be there. She's not going to be there. Like I knew it, like there was something in me that was like, you're going to jinx it.
I know.
But I've never heard this shaving of the opposite. But it's true. I've been there a handful of times. Where like,
every time fresh wax and you just want someone to touch it. No one does till it's getting that's prickly.
Did you ever have any rules about when to sleep with somebody in terms of like number of dates or?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. So you've always kind of navigated a certain way.
I always do third date.
Third date.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're always like only till the third date, even if maybe
I fucked George on the first date and dated him for 2 years. I fucked my first husband on the first night. But typically, I really try like. My second husband on our second date, we both got hammered on 2 martinis, hammered because we're both athletes and we didn't drink a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So I went in my room. I was like, you cannot drive home. You can sleep here, but you cannot drive home. And I was like, we are not fucking. And then I went into my room and I put on every single pair of underwear that I owned.
Stop.
And not necessarily
almost
like
he'll get tired out. He'll take off 3 pairs and just quit.
And then I went out and he was like messing around. He was like, what did you do? But then he was also like, you're gonna lose your legs if you keep these on.
Like, oh my god,
you're probably right. And then we fucked. But
what a trick. Honey, I'm really worried about your circulation.
Let's get these off.
But I was going to say, in other times when you've like slept with somebody on the first date, did it typically not lead to relationships? Is that what made you have a 3-date rule? Or are you in general more like, I want to see if they kind of stay and are into me or I'm into them?
Okay, so that doesn't dictate how long the relationship lasts for me. I'll stay with people forever if we fuck on the first date or not. It does, however, dictate how the relationship goes. Mm. Like, I don't want to be known for, I don't know why, but men really sexualize me. Like, it's a...
Well, you are sexy.
Thank you.
Just saying.
Is it my unshowered
face? I was like, a part of it is you are attractive. So, yeah, giving you a shout there.
I know, but like... It's like it's aggressively sexualized.
Okay. Hmm.
It's kind of insane what happened. So if I fuck them on the first night, then the rest of it's just about fucking. It's like it takes a minute for them to realize, oh, she has a personality. Oh, my God. Okay. She talks. So, yeah, I try not. I'm like, set it up as courting so that they can keep take down that alpha role and I can be like, the little girl that doesn't want to order food that you can order for me. And then that, yeah. And then
I like
married.
I like that look on it because like the books all obviously say don't sleep with them on the first date, which
a lot
I,
of them say not even till you have a commitment.
Yeah.
Of some kind.
Yeah.
Which
come on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it's almost 2020.
Yeah.
Or it's like, why would I want to commit if I don't know if this is good?
Right.
Yeah.
Like,
right.
That's
like
not fair.
Yeah, it's such a huge part of a relationship is having sex with someone and your sexual chemistry.
Yeah.
But what I like of what you were saying is that it's not for you about like leading them on and like getting them hooked. It's like making sure that they really see you as a person, because yeah. I think we've all been there of like you sleep with someone and then a few weeks or months in, you're like, oh, I don't think you really know who I am or anything really about me.
Yeah. They just send you like dick pics or sexy texts and you're like, can you ask me about my fucking day? It was hard. It was a hard day. Yeah. I did a lot of shit.
Yeah, it was harder than your dick.
Yeah.
Oh, you think that's hard? Let me tell you. I mean, honestly.
I do look at everybody's hands on the date.
Like, really?
I'm like.
You're a believer of hand correlation?
Size? It has to be like something.
Really?
Don't you think?
I haven't found any correlation with hands.
How many dicks you seen?
I mean, probably not as many as you. But I'm not trying to say I'm an expert.
I think there's a little correlation.
There's gotta be.
There's some.
I don't think so. I haven't really noticed.
How big do you think Trump's dick is?
I don't know. But that to me,
tiny.
But that to me, I feel like I more correlate personality to dick size. Way more.
Okay. Oh,
like I'm more of a believer of like quote big dick energy.
Oh. Yeah.
More so than someone's hands. So the fact you're like, how big do you think Trump's dick is? I'm like, I don't think Trump has a small dick because of his hands. I think he has a small dick of his personality and how he behaves.
You have big BDE. How big your clit?
Yeah. Well, I was gonna say. I don't know. I haven't compared, but
you got BCE.
Yeah. Join the Patreon. We'll compare him on the Patreon.
Match the clit to the lady.
Yo, actually, that'd be a more helpful game for children, though, for young men to be like, "Let's support it." No, I mean to more be like, you know, you gotta find it. Where's
Let's
it go?
Sell this to schools. Where's the
they would learn more than the stupid stuff they have to do now.
I've been going on so many dates, and one guy, I was like, "Oh, the clit," and he goes, "Yeah, but that's like," and he starts explaining. I go, what is it like? And I just leaned in and he goes, it's like that thing that it's like, and I go, and I was like, you made a humongous hand gesture. Like what? Where do you think it is?
Like over and under. It's just over and under, you know? Just the whole there.
And then he was like sweating and I was like, I'm going to let you go on this one, but I want you to go home and Google. Spend some time.
And don't text me.
Ever again. Yeah.
Oh God.
Well, I was gonna say her thing about being like overly sexualized. I'm like, I feel I have the opposite problem. We've talked about this recently. Yeah. Of like you said with the big dick energy or like kind of the more masculine energy I naturally have. Mm-hmm. And do you feel like you naturally have that, Molly?
No, I think when people see me, I get like a little bit more sexualized or like kind of in that girly girl bucket. Mm-hmm. And then when people like talk to me, they're kind of thrown off of like, oh, what the fuck is happening? Like,
I do put on girl voice.
Okay.
Like, this is my radio voice. This is a little deeper, but mm-hmm. I do have a more feminine voice that I use for dates.
Can we hear it?
That's so funny. You call it that. I call it phone voice.
Yeah, it's just a little higher.
Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like just up here.
Okay.
You're like, oh, yes, I'd love a Prosecco, but can you put in a rocks glass? Thank you. And you're just like softer.
Oh, okay. Man, that would definitely make me talk less because I would hate hearing myself sound like that. I'd be like, ew, don't say that. Stop talking.
I feel like I can't really control my voice, especially when I get nervous. Like, sometimes I can't control the voice inflections, so everything just sounds like a question, and it's not. Like, this has happened on work client calls. And I've had to, like, send, like, a DM to my VP of, like, I don't know what's happening right now with my voice. But it's fine. We get through it. They fired us later.
Jesus. Were you like, are you firing us? Like,
we got a lot of coverage. Did we, Mal? Did we? I was like, God damn it.
Yes, we did. Well, I was like, there's also the trick of laughing at what they say.
Yeah.
Now, being like a comedian, mm-hmm. have you ever done this or have you tried and been like, oh, this is crushing my soul to make this man believe he's being funny?
It crushes. I can't do it.
You can't do it.
No.
Yeah, it crushes you.
Yeah.
I feel the same way. I also don't have a good fake laugh. They'd be like, are you okay?
Yeah, I don't know.
Do you have something stuck in your throat? I'm like, I'm laughing. I'm flirting. floating very much. Thank you.
I laugh when I like get nervous or just like don't really know what to do. So even if I'm like miserable, I'm going to laugh and I don't know why. Like it just comes out. It's, I send the wrong vibes.
Do you have like an internal voice like, shut up.
Yeah.
I do.
Stop. Stop. Yeah. And I just lose all control. It's bad. I'm not a good date, guys.
I have a friend that sounds exactly like you guys have the same voice, and for some reason when she gets nervous she talks about her like people that have died and then, and then I can't stop laughing because she's like, and then my cat died, and I'm like she's like, I don't know what's happening.
Like, the best. She does this like on dates.
She's like out in public. She just gets so nervous. She's like so socially awkward. She's an engineer. So socially awkward. And then she's like, yep. And then my grandpa died. And I'm like, whoa.
Oh, she's laughing too. Okay.
Well, at least she's giggling along.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God. No one understands what's happening. But her and I are laughing very hard.
Oh, damn. I guess we only have a couple questions. We gotta get wrapped up soon.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else you wanted to add?
So we were wondering, what double standards have you experienced as a divorced woman?
Well, I don't think that my second marriage, I was married for 17 days and he got the house and I had to pay him $13,000.
Wait, why?
Because I made the money in the relationship. So I was training him for the Olympics, and so he was unemployed. So when we left, I had a huge income and he had nothing. So he took the house. But also I was like, take it, you loser, piece of shit, have it all.
Well, also you were moving because that was your literal move back then.
I know. Yeah.
Like, fine, take the house because I already packed up my car to drive into the sunset.
Wait.
You want it? You got it.
Yeah. The first marriage, I burnt all of our assets to the ground before it was over. So I don't have any it's hard because I don't have any children or homes or anything. So for me it was just like a quick split, you know. So I didn't really have any double standards.
Okay.
But in terms of like people like interacting in the world, have you ever basically watched like a male friend of yours that's divorced say he's divorced and almost like how, you know, people react to him being divorced versus you disclosing you've been divorced?
Oh, got it. Okay. So I have a different energy about me than like most women that I know that are divorced. And we should just like grab your vagina and lift yourself up, because a lot of people are like, I'm so divorced, I'm broken. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm fucking divorced. And, and that's just how it is. Mm-hmm. And if you lead with, this is my life and that's it. Mm-hmm. And people are like, okay. And they can't, you're like, I'm open about it. It happened. Life happens. Then other people will take it a lot easier and they won't judge you. It's just like when you're on stage and you have a tough time delivering a first joke, like the first time you have it, you kind of stutter through it and people don't accept it because you didn't deliver it correctly. Mm-hmm. If you say it the way you're going to say it, then people will just be like, okay, I'll eat that sandwich, you know?
I love that so much, because that's really like the heart of what this podcast is about, is owning your shit and basically just knowing yourself well enough to get through like the baggage that you bring into your relationship. Everyone has it in some way, you know, and we've talked about ours a lot, and just owning what you have. And I think other people will respect it if you're sure in yourself first.
Yeah, it's just easier than hiding.
Yeah.
Well, that was the other question I wanted to ask you, was like, what advice would you give to someone that is newly divorced?
Talk about it openly. You might think that people don't want you to have that conversation, but they can know that if you look at someone, you're like, how are you doing? And you're like, oh, fine. You know that that person has so much going on underneath the surface and they're just not sharing with you. Right. So you come off as inauthentic and insincere. So if you're just like, hey, I'm not great, I'm going through divorce, but we're getting through it, brighter days to come, then you're like, I got it out there, it's off my shoulders now. Everybody can take a big exhale. So yeah, just be authentic.
All right. I like that.
I do too.
There's one last one I wanted to end with.
I have one of just like other people outside of, you know, the men that you've been with, but like friends. And this is something that sometimes like happens to me as someone who will like physically comes across as more of this feminine energy, right? Mm-hmm. And like people trying to control your life and like fix your mistakes or tell you what to do. Have you had that, like, have your divorces and your relationships kind of been instigating other challenges and other relationships in your life, or had been almost an invitation for people to interject their own opinions on you that weren't asked for at all?
I mean, I grew up in a very Irish Catholic family.
Okay.
So everybody always wants to do that and have judgment.
Sure, yeah.
Actually, I was pretty much ostracized from my family after my first divorce.
Really?
And then
really?
My, like, the golden cousin got a divorce, and everyone kind of was like, oh, I'm so sorry that happened. And she called me and asked me for advice, and I was like, oh, look who fell off the tree here.
Did you feel like they changed their tune towards you at all?
For everybody did.
Golden cousin?
Everyone did, yeah. Okay. And I was like, people go through trauma. Everybody, like, everyone goes through their own shit, and that's fine. And I wasn't like, ha ha ha, told
yeah.
you so. Mm-hmm. I just was kind of cool about it.
Good for you.
Yeah.
Like, well, I just can't believe people at all judged you and weren't immediately like, she was 19.
I was 19. He beat me. He broke my face into a glass table. And then I was like, I should go. You know, like that. Why would I stay? You know, like what? So,
but any part of that of them essentially being like, ugh, got divorced. Like, shame on you. It's like, shame on me. Like, I think it's more. I mean, if I was your mom, I would just feel like so terrible that like I didn't realize what was happening in mm-hmm. your relationship, or even the fact that like you were hooking up and had this thing, and it just happened so quickly. I think they more just felt bad that all happened to you, but it's still like. Man, why at all? I can't believe anybody would ever put blame on you. Like, 19?
Yeah.
19.
God, you can barely vote. You should be able to make those decisions.
Jesus. 19. Like, I was like a, you know, had my stuff together, good kids, you know, had good grades, like, went to college, all that. But I'm still, like, 19 making life decisions like that. Like,
huge life decisions.
Yeah.
19-year-old Molly was a shit show. What's freshman year at college, and we don't need to go back there.
Yeah, I had my wedding toast. I ordered a glass of champagne and had to give a fake ID to get it.
Oh,
on
my
wedding night.
That's pretty badass that you had a fake ID at your wedding.
It was my sister's.
She's standing right next to you.
I know.
You're like, no, this is me. Hello.
Also, wasn't your name everywhere at the wedding? Like,
no, I got married in Vegas.
Oh,
at
that's
Chapel
right.
Of
that's
Flowers,
right.
Me
okay.
and Angelina Jolie.
Oh shit. Okay.
Yeah.
So you
then,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was going to ask, do you think you would ever get married again?
Probably not.
No. Just not to have to deal with legal hassle. You're just like.
Whenever I get married, it does change the relationship. Mm. And I feel like the walls are closing in. And I feel like someone's forcing me to be in a relationship. Mm. And I want to make that choice every day. I will stay committed to a person forever.
Yeah.
And I'm the most loyal person. Mm. Mm-hmm. But I want to be able to make that choice.
Do you believe in love?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that brings us to our final question. Would you rather... Hold on, I'm going to mess this up.
Good old would you rather.
Would you rather have been divorced 3 times or have never been in love?
I don't know if I've been in love.
Really?
Really? But is it one of those things that you think you are during and then the relationship ends and you look back and you're like, you weren't in love.
Yes.
Mm. You were being tricked.
Because I know I love like how much I love my niece and nephew, and I know how much I love like my dog, and I love like certain people, like I love you and I love all my friends, and so I know what love is, and I know that there's a greater, like the agape love of a relationship. I know that it's out there and it's touchable. I just haven't been there yet. Mm.
Wow, that's deep.
You still didn't pick one.
Yeah.
So hypothetically,
I was
going to
say
one.
Divorce.
So you would rather be basically...
Where I'm at now.
Where you're at now, even though you're like, I'm not sure those were loved, but I still would have rather loved and taken all those risks.
Yeah.
But I like that.
That's
a shooter. I mean, that gives people hope. That's a nice hope note to end on.
Yeah.
Because like, don't know. I'm kind of in that boat of just like, yeah, will I ever be in love? I don't know. We will see.
Air is open.
All right. Well, this has been great. Thank you so much, Mara.
Thanks for having me.
I know. Thanks. We're definitely going to have you on again because, I mean, we just needed to unpack the history of this episode. So much more. And again, let people know where everybody can find your podcast. And all
Happy
that.
Never After Podcast on Instagram or HNA Pod on Twitter, or just go to iTunes and follow it. And then I'm at Mara Merrick on Instagram, everything.
And which episode on your podcast do you explain? You dive into this history a little bit more.
The first in this, the first one, the full episode, and the second half, you can, if you listen, you'll hear the whole story. Yeah. Yeah.
Whole story. Happy Never After.
Yes.
Mara Merrick.
Yes.
Nailed Mara it.
Mara Merrick. Damn it.
Okay. Mara.
I'm going to get it. I don't even say my own name right half the time. Okay. I just want everyone to know that. They're like, is it Spira or Spara? And I'm like, I do both. I do both. So you can find me at Erica Spira or at Erica Spara. at Spirica. I'm going to have to Google me. They'll find it, Molly. Okay. You'll find me and join the Patreon if you want some extra episodes or just to support the pod because we're trying to get a video element added, but we don't have the money for it yet.
Yeah, you know you want to look at us.
Yeah, you know you want to look at this hot Mara chilling out.
And
damn it.
Follow the pod on Instagram at Shooters Gotta Shoot Pod, and I'm at The Guacamole.
Oh, wait. You guys should be reviewing this.
Oh,
everyone.
Yes. Yeah. We always forget to do that. We might
this
say
is
that
how you
beginning.
Move up in the stats, is get everyone to review.
Yes. So, especially, yeah. I see the numbers. Not even 10% of you have left a review, and we're literally giving away money as well.
Yes,
once we
hit
300, okay? We're almost there. We need 100 more reviews.
I have 42,000 subscribers, and I have 400 reviews. That's it. And what? I was like,
come on!
Exactly. Same thing. Not even 10%. So review our podcast, and then go review Happy Never After.
Yes!
Okay? Leave a review. We're giving away some monies, okay? And we will see you next week.
Yeah.
Thank
Bye,
you.
Guys.
Bye-bye.